Eve ate an apple? Three wise men? It might surprise you what the Bible doesn't teach. Hello, I'm Phil Sanders, and this is a Bible study in search of the Lord's way. Today, we're exploring what the Bible doesn't teach.
In all the hurry and hustle and confusion of modern living, the Lord has the way. We believe that the Bible is the revelation of His way. We invite you to join us in search of the Lord's way with Phil Sanders.
Welcome to In Search of the Lord's Way. We're here to search the Scriptures for God's will. We want to know what God says, not what God doesn't say. We want divinely inspired truth, not human ideas. Inspired truth gives us the words of eternal life. And we want nothing else. Thanks for taking time with us today. We'd love to hear from you, and we want to be a part of your life each week. The Bible doesn't say that Eve ate an apple. She ate a fruit. Scripture doesn't say how many wise men visited Jesus. Scripture doesn't say what kind of fish swallowed Jonah. Scripture doesn't tell us to pray to Mary or that Mary was a perpetual virgin. Scripture never calls Peter a pope, and the church was founded upon Jesus Christ, not Peter. The Scriptures require bishops to be married, not single. The Scriptures never speak of purgatory or limbo. There are several concepts that started centuries after the New Testament after it was written, and have come to be widely believed, these false ideas. They are inventions of men, not the Word of God. In the days of Jeremiah, prophets dreamed up what they believed God said, but they were mistaken and false prophets. Jeremiah 23:16 says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord." In verse 21, God says, "I didn't send these prophets, yet they ran. I didn't speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds." Well, we still have false teachers today who speak from their own imagination. We offer this study on what the Bible doesn't say free. If you'd like a printed copy and live in the United States, mail your request to In Search of the Lord's Way, Post Office Box 371, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083, or send us an email to searchtv@searchtv.org, or call our toll-free telephone number. That number is 1-800-321-8633. We also have many free programs and materials on our website, searchtv.org. You can also see us on YouTube. We'll now worship in song, read from Revelation 22:18-19, and examine the folly of what the Bible doesn't say. Our reading today comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, and emphasizes our need to really pay attention closely to the Word of God and not add to it or take away from it. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. Now, yes, this talks about the book of Revelation, but it is also true of all the writings and the teaching of God. We have no right to add to or to take away from the teaching of God. That's taught in Deuteronomy 4:2, Deuteronomy 12:32, and Proverbs 30 and verse 6 as well. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful that You have given us Your Word, and Your Word is clear. Help us never to be presumptuous, to add to what You've said or to take away from it. Help us always to be good listeners, to love You with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Numerous doctrines that you can't find in the Bible. They've arisen because people listen to men rather than to God. One of the most destructive doctrines is that church tradition must be obeyed like the written scriptures. Now, all kinds of ideas have arisen over the centuries that contradict scripture and lead people to believe what is false. God never said these things, but people are certain they're true because church tradition. Well, let's examine some of these things. Some say babies are born in sin. This idea became popular in the 5th century with Augustine and was adapted by many evangelicals in the Reformation. Some people quote David in Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Well, now this doesn't say David inherited his sin from his mother, just that sin was present when he was born. In fact, David said in Psalm 22, verses 9 and 10 about God, "Yet You are He who brought me forth from the womb. You made me trust when upon my mother's breasts. Upon You I was cast from birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb." Ezekiel 18 makes it clear that God doesn't hold children to be responsible for their parents' sins. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 19, verse 14, "Let the children alone, and do not hinder them from coming to Me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. I tell you, little children aren't depraved." One of the more popular doctrines is that people are saved by faith alone. Well, there can be no doubt that we are saved by faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, "And without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Now, the phrase is faith, not faith alone. John 3 and verse 36 says that he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. That's the New American Standard Bible and the ESV. Yes, obedience is as necessary as faith for salvation. The Lord Jesus said in John 8:51, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." Well, he said also in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Well, now, are we to throw away these verses? You know, breathing gives us oxygen and life, but we also need water, food, clothing, and shelter. It would be absurd to say that we're alive by breathing alone. Well, in the same way, we must love God to be saved, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. We must repent or we'll perish, Luke 13, 3. We must be born again of water and the Spirit if we're to enter the kingdom of God, John 3, verse 5. The doctrine of faith only ignores many scriptures that require more than faith. Other people claim the doctrine, once saved, always saved. And they quote John 5:24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, that whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." They also quote John 10:27-28, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Well, they ignore the fact that one can quit listening and quit believing. They ignore that some willfully forsake the Lord. Hebrews 3:12-13 warns Christians who were once saved, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Hebrews 10:26-27 goes farther. "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries." Now, no one can snatch us from the Lord's hand, that's true. But Christians can defiantly choose to forsake their faith and follow the world, and they will be lost. Some religious groups sprinkle water on infants and call that baptism. The little infant is incapable of hearing the word, choosing, believing in Jesus, and needing to repent. And yet in the book of Acts, the people who were being baptized believed and repented first. That's different, isn't it? They weren't infants. They weren't little children who were being baptized, but grown-ups. Peter told the people at Pentecost in Acts 2:38 to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. In Acts 8 and verse 12, there the Bible says, "But when they believed Philip as he preached good news, that is the gospel about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Now, these people who believed and were baptized were men and women, not little children or infants. We have no New Testament command or record of any infant being baptized. We have no right to make a law for God. The first infant baptism took place in the latter part of the second century, and Tertullian opposed it strenuously. It was not until the 4th century that this practice was accepted, 4 centuries too late. Nor were they sprinkled for baptism. Sprinkling for baptism was first mentioned in 251 AD when Cornelius opposed Novatian, who was sprinkled on what he thought was his deathbed. Cornelius opposed the practice. It was not until 1311 at the Council of Ravenna that men held sprinkling to be equivalent to baptism. Well, that's 1300 years too late. Later than the New Testament, of course. The word baptism refers to an immersion in water, not sprinkling. And this is why Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 4, "Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." Immersion is like a burial and resurrection, but sprinkling is something different, and it was added centuries later. I hear people say, "Well, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you love Jesus." Well, now this may sound good, but it's false. The Lord cares what we believe. He said in John 8:24, "Therefore I said to you," speaking to the Jews, "that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He," that is the Messiah, the Christ, "that you will die in your sins." Jesus demands that we believe He is the Christ, the Son of God. The Lord Jesus said in John 12:48, that "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings and my words," what I teach, "has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day." Again, the Lord Jesus said in Luke 9:26, that "whoever is ashamed of me and my words," that is my teaching, "the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." The words of Jesus will matter on Judgment Day. You cannot believe anything that you want and still be pleasing to the Lord. Many religious groups recognize a special class of saints and priests. The Scriptures, however, consider every Christian to be a saint and a priest. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2, "To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling," that is, we were called by the gospel, "and with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours." Yes, all are saints. And he regarded every Christian as a saint and as a person sanctified in Christ who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus. Peter agrees, and he said to all Christians in 1 Peter 2, 9 to 10, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you're the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So every Christian is holy and a royal priest. The New Testament never commands the church to use instruments of music in worship. Oh, we can read of the church singing in praise to the Lord, but the Scriptures are silent about the use of instruments in worship. Ephesians 5:19 says, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord." Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Hebrews 13 verse 15 says, "Through Him," that is through Jesus, "then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name." There simply is not a single commandment, example, or inference of any church in the New Testament using instruments of music in worship. Oh, sometimes I hear people say that David played the harp. Yes, he clearly did. But David lived 1,000 years before Christ. David was not a Christian. He worshiped as a Jew. He also offered animal sacrifices. We don't look to David for how to worship as Christians. Christians do not look to the Old Testament to learn how to worship. They look to the teaching of Jesus and the apostles in the New Testament. Historically speaking, church historian Everett Ferguson said, "It is quite late before there is evidence of instrumental music. First, the organ employed in the public worship of the church. Recent studies put the introduction of instrumental music even later than the dates found in reference books. It was perhaps as late as the 10th century when the organ was played as a part of the service. This makes instrumental music one of the late innovations of the medieval Catholic Church. When introduced in the Middle Ages, the organ was still not part of the liturgy proper. That is, it didn't initially accompany the hymn service, but was a separate item in the service. The type of chant employed left no place for instrumental accompaniment until new styles of music developed." Now, using instruments of music in the worship of the church is of human origin, not divine. Many people have bought into the lie, well, God wants me to be happy, reasoning that they can even commit sin if it makes them happy. Well, does God want us to be happy? Well, yes, but He doesn't want us to buy into the happiness that sin brings. They think happiness justifies the sin they want to commit. God wants us to be happy and righteous, not happy in sin. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 to 12 reminds us that some do not have the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. Now, wickedness may please for the moment, but wickedness always leads to being lost. Oh, friend, let's follow Jesus. Let's follow His Word. Now, it's easy for people to become blind to the origin of what they're used to. You may assume God instructed us to believe or do certain things simply because you're used to doing them. You may have always worshiped with instruments, but that doesn't mean the Lord Jesus commanded their use. You may have grown up with babies being sprinkled, but that doesn't mean it's scriptural. You may have heard salvation by faith only, and once saved, always saved, but that doesn't make it right. Following the words of the New Testament is always the right thing to do. And I pray that you'll take time to read the Scriptures for yourself and see what God actually said. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that You have given us Your Word so that we might know what it means to follow You in the way that You would have us to follow. Father, help us to be careful and loving in our obedience, to not add to Your Word or take away from it, but to listen to You and obey Your words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon His breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
We shouldn't risk our souls on what the Bible doesn't say, but rather follow the things the Lord and His apostles did say. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 7, 24 to 27, that everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. We must hear the words of Jesus, do them, and build our houses upon the rock. When you build on what God didn't say, you're building your house on sand. Now, you're deciding what you believe and how you will react to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe church traditions not found in the New Testament, you may be like the Pharisees who believed in their oral traditions and invalidated the written Word of God. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 15:13-14, that every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. Let them, that is the Pharisees, alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. Now, it's better to follow Jesus and His words than to follow human traditions. Believe with your heart and confess Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts 2:38. Now, we hope that today's study about what is not said in Scripture will lead you to turn from the traditions of men. Now, if you live in the United States and want a free printed copy of our little book, Know Your Bible, or a copy of this lesson, then send your request to In Search of the Lord's Way, Post Office Box 371, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Or you can send an email to searchtv@searchtv.org. Or you can call the Search office toll free at 1-800-321-8633. Now, there's a schedule of our programs and a map of churches in your area at searchtv.org. And you can watch Search anytime on YouTube, subscribe to our channel, Search TV Ministry, and like the programs. Now, we also offer free Bible correspondence courses. We have two or three of them, and we'd love to share them with you. If you get a hold of us, don't worry. We're not asking for money. We're here to help you draw close to God. We want you to know the Word of God. Show God your love by worshiping at church. You need a church family. And if you can attend, if you can go, then go. Don't neglect worshiping at church. There's probably a Church of Christ near you. And we want you to know that if you're looking for a healthy, biblical church home, we'll gladly help you find one. We want you to be a part of a regular congregation and go all the time. Well, we'll be back next week, Lord willing. So keep searching God's Word with us. Tell a friend about this program. And as always, we say to you, God bless you, and we love you from all of us at In Search of the Lord's Way.